Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. The grace of our risen Savior, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you anointed Jesus at his baptism with the Holy Spirit and revealed him as your beloved Son. Keep all who are born of water and of Spirit faithful in your service, that we may rejoice to be called children of God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, whom with you and the Holy Spirit we worship and praise, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Samuel, the third chapter. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am." And ran to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision of Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more so also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray Psalm 139 responsibly. O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know what I want to do now, when I rise up. You stir myself from far away.
You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I take the wings in the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of earth. I lo, weighty to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. Oh, that you would kill the wicked. Oh, God, that the bloodthirsty would depart from me. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not love those who rise up against you? Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, the third chapter. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave nor free. There is no longer male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. Here's according to the promise. A word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and to tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord. Have a seat. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. As many of you may know, I have a twin brother. He works for Starbucks. And being that I'm not a connoisseur of coffee like most Lutherans here, he's been trying to teach me its finer points. Lately, though, because the baby hasn't been getting much sleep, and therefore I haven't been getting much sleep, I'm starting to like black coffee a little more and more. I do, however, like to frequent coffee houses. And I was at one this last week, choking down this bitter cup of black tar, staring at my Bible and the works of Luther, trying to figure out what I was going to prepare for my sermon today. As I took my last sip, I was thinking how odd it was that water could be completely transformed by having something added to it. In fact, coffee changes water so completely that it's not the water that people remember. It's the coffee. A cup of coffee is actually 98% water, but it's not the water that sends millions to Starbucks or local coffee houses each year. It's the coffee. So too is it with our baptism. It's not just the water that people seek, but it's the water with God's word and God's promise added to it. Luther says, "For the real significance in baptism lies in God's word and God's name." Baptism is not something that we do. It's something that God does to us. Recall Jesus' command in the Great Commission. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." When a person performs a baptism, they're doing it with a delegated authority. It's really the Holy Trinity who's baptizing a person, since it's done in their name. Anybody who's ever had an encounter with a police officer knows what delegated authority is. We don't obey police officers because they have an inherent authority over us. We obey police officers because they're doing their work in the name of the law. Baptism is not our action, but it's God's action. It may be human hands that are performing the work, but it's God who is acting. In some mysterious way, while the pastor is washing the outside of the body, the Holy Trinity is cleansing the heart. God's promises are abundant in Scripture concerning those who are baptized. And the Scriptures show us that baptism mysteriously does something to the believer. Paul, one of Jesus' later disciples, wrote a letter to a church in Rome. In it he says, "Do you not know that all who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death." Paul says several things here. He says that baptism is death and burial with Christ. We are baptized into his death and buried with him. Notice that it doesn't say that it symbolizes death and burial, but that it is death and burial. Therefore, baptism is spiritual crucifixion. Not only are we baptized into Jesus' death, Paul says that we're baptized into Christ Jesus himself. Colossians makes it a little more clear. It says, "You have died, and your life is now hidden in Christ with God." Throughout the New Testament, the people of God are referred to as the body of Christ. This is important to note because in baptism, we are put into Christ and we share in everything that's his. In our gospel story today, we encounter the baptism of Jesus according to John the Baptist. John says that he's given a revelation. God says to John, "The one whom you see the Spirit descend upon and stay, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit." In this same scene, in another gospel, the Father makes a proclamation. He says to Jesus, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." It's in Jesus' baptism that the Father chooses to come forward and reveal his relationship with his Son. And since we are hidden in Christ during our baptism, we share in the Father's proclamation at Jesus' baptism. Because of Jesus, we who are baptized and we who believe are made children of God. We are no longer subject to the ruler of this world. We've been set free from bondage, and we have a new life in Christ. What good news is this? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God? And that is what we are. This new life as a child of God should be evident to all. Remember our readings in Galatians today. It says, "As many of you that were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." This is a vivid image because clothes are something that we wear on the outside, and it's the first thing that people see. Christ, our Savior, should be as evident on us as the clothes we wear. People should see us and know that there's something different about us, that we're not like the rest of the world. Baptism is a response to God first calling us. In the first reading today, we hear the story of Samuel. This passage enlightens us to how God interacts with his children. It was God who called Samuel by name. And it was God who called Samuel into a relationship with him. Likewise, our Master calls us by name and calls us into a relationship with him. But we have to respond to his call. Even before my daughter was born, I would call her by name. When she was in the womb, I would talk to Jess's stomach, and I would tell her how much I loved her, and I would pour out how much I loved to her. When she was born, the day she was born, I called to her by name, and she looked around, and she was trying to fix her eyes on the source of the call. And every day since then, I've called her by name. And for the last 5 weeks, she just kind of looks around and trying to fix her eyes on who's calling her. It was last week, and it was after a really long night of her crying and being awake, that I was lying in bed, and she was lying next to me. And I called to her. I said, "Cademan." And she kind of looked around like she had for the last 5 weeks. And I said, "Cademan, I love you." And with that, she looked straight at me, and she smiled. And we shared in this moment, and she looked at me like, "I know who you are. You're my dad." Our dad calls us into relationship with him, but it does us no good to hear the call and not respond. Unfortunately, there have been many people who have been baptized and received this gift, but have rejected it. Faith, at some times, must receive baptism. So, if we have not believed in God's promises given in baptism, believe now. If we have not received Jesus and his gift of salvation, receive now. This is what God calls us in our lives to do. Micah 6:8 says, "What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God." Many people think that baptism is this magical ritual where some water is poured and some words are said and that's it. For them, baptism is the finish line. But baptism is much more than that. Baptism is the start for infants of a relationship with God. And for those older youth who are baptized, including adults, it's the start of an even deeper relationship with God. And after that, God calls us to do something. After baptism, God calls us to continue in the faith and to live as Jesus lived. God calls us after baptism to preach the word and the good news of Jesus and his resurrection. God calls us after baptism to be a revolutionary voice for the poor, the oppressed, and the outcast. And God calls us after our baptism to come to him, not with our good intentions, but to come to him with our whole lives. But we don't have to worry how we're going to do that. The good shepherd will show us the way. Isaiah says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Are you listening to his voice? Are you hearing God's call? So, may the God of all peace awaken you to his voice. May you hear from the Master, and may you take the call given to you in your baptism. Amen.